and how God chose them out, and how they failed and ended up with God saving the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And according to Ephesians chapter 3, God gave Paul a very distinct revelation, and it was called the revelation of mystery. And he says there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Now, in 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we talk about dispensational truth, we're talking about Paul's epistles. We're talking about information given through our apostle, the Apostle Paul, found in your Bible in Romans through Philemon. So the first 2 weeks we looked at things concerning the nation Israel and differences between the nation Israel and how they came about as opposed to the church, the body of Christ. After a couple of weeks looking at that, we talked about salvation. Two issues about the importance of rightly dividing. One was salvation, and the other was prayer. How that the promises concerning prayer for Israel were not the same as the promises concerning prayer for us. Are we to pray? Absolutely. But we're not promised the same things concerning prayer that the nation Israel was. And then last week, I had intended on covering more than this, but we talked last week about giving, about the tithe. And this is something that I mentioned, I titled the message, "The One Dispensational Truth That Most Preachers Don't Want You to Know About." Because in most churches today, it is taught that people are to tithe. And not only are they to tithe, but it's also taught that there are consequences for those that do not. And that is taught, obviously, to increase the revenue, to get people's money. And so we went back last week and we looked at the tithe in the Old Testament. Turns out there were three different tithes, and it comes up to about 23% if you look at all three of them. And so where people talk about giving a tenth, as Ray Stevens said, if 10% was good enough for the Lord, it ought to be good enough for Uncle Sam. Well, it wasn't good enough. It was the 23% that the Lord required. And Israel did that. And if they did not, according to the book of Malachi, God would curse them. He said, "You have robbed God." And they said, "Wherewith will we rob God?" He said, "In tithes and offerings." By the way, in addition to the tithes, there were offerings. And so he said, "You've robbed God," and that God would curse them. And so people look at that today, and there are preachers that will teach people, I've heard it directly, that if you don't tithe, you're under a curse. And I gave some illustrations about that last week. Paul never one time mentions the tithe. He does mention giving. But whereas the tithe was mandatory, giving today is absolutely voluntary. Where there was a specified amount under the tithe, Paul said, "As a man purposes in the heart, so let him give." And so there's great differences in giving under grace. And we looked at that last week. Today I want to talk to you about something again that there's great confusion about. And it has to do with the way that God is blessing us today versus how he blessed the nation Israel. Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The very beginning of the nation of Israel was with the calling out of Abram, who was later changed to Abraham. And it started with a promise. And the promise was to bless Abraham and his seed, and to bless those that blessed his seed. Notice there in Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now notice, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." I want you to notice something as we go through these scriptures in the Old Testament. Before we talk about our blessings, we're going to look at theirs. In almost every instance, along with the blessing is mentioned the curse. Because where blessings were conditional, if those blessings were not poured out, generally there was a curse upon those that didn't do the things that earned the blessing. And so he says there, "I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee." Look over in Genesis chapter 22. We're going to kind of move through these scriptures fast because I've got 96 that I want to look at today. No, I'm just kidding. The clock is working. Y'all don't panic. Genesis 22. Notice there in verse 15. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall prosper the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." As I mentioned last week, I believe that all the promises to the nation Israel will yet be fulfilled along with these. Notice over in Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. In Genesis 26 and verse 1, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." So you can see, if you read through the book of Genesis, there's one mention after the other about God's blessing on Abraham, those that bless Abraham and his seed, and God's blessings on his seed, which turns out to be the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I want you to look at some specific things that God said about blessings. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 15. In Deuteronomy chapter 15. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 9, "Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt supply, or thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved, when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto." You see, there's a conditional promise there concerning the sabbatical year, the seventh year, and so forth. And he says, "The Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and all that thou puttest thy hand unto." So he blessed the works of their hands. Look down in verse 18. "It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest." Look down in, over in chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. So the Lord's promise to the nation of Israel was he would bless them in their works. Hold on to Deuteronomy. We're coming back over here. Look back at Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus 15. In Exodus 15. In verse 24, Exodus 15, 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there was the blessing of their work, there was the blessing of their labor, and there was the blessing of good health if they were obedient unto God Almighty. Don't turn there, but in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10, how many of y'all remember a book that came out years ago called The Prayer of Jabez? That book was really popular, and people read it, and this is the verse that the book was based upon. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, the book, the idea of the book was that if you would pray that prayer and claim that prayer, that God would do for you just like he did for Jabez. Every one of those things that's mentioned there has to do with some type of physical blessing. And so it is with the nation of Israel, and that is the reason today, folks, that people in the religious system desire to be Israel. They want those promises made to the nation of Israel. I've told you about a situation where I was having breakfast one day with some folks, and this particular person had been listening to some of our videos or tapes at that time, and they made the statement that they believed all the Word of God. And I said, really? And they said, yes, all the promises made to Israel are ours. And I said, well, you do realize that with those blessings, there was also curses. And the person just nodded their head a little bit. And I said, so you believe all the Old Testament is written to you? And they said, yes. And I looked over there, and there was about 3 strips of bacon and a big old piece of ham on the plate. And I said, oh, no, you don't. Because you couldn't be eating that if you did. It's just like I was telling Frank this morning. People go through the Bible, and they just pick, it's like a bulldozer going through there, and they just pick out the verses they want to use and the verses they want to claim, and discard the others, and just go on through there and ignore the truth of the Scriptures. Israel had many physical blessings, and those blessings included, as I said, the good health and so forth. As a matter of fact, look up back in Deuteronomy, where we were a moment ago, in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Yeah, it's interesting. I find, and you've heard this mentioned besides myself, many times, but it's interesting when people talk about all these blessings of Israel that they're claiming, they never mention the curses. And they never mention it when they aren't doing the things that God said had to be done in order to achieve those blessings. And by the way, let's read Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, in verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now that last part is very important, because many times when we read about these blessings, they have to do with national blessings toward the nation Israel. And that's what he says. We know that Israel ended up doing what? Going into idolatry, turning against God. They lost the blessing. But notice what he says. Verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which thy Lord thy God giveth thee." Now you would think that that would be motivation enough to serve the Lord, doesn't it? But notice what he says in verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city." And he goes through that same list there. Look down in verse 27. You know, we read back there in Exodus where he's going to deliver them from the diseases. Well, he said in verse 27, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." In other words, that condition of healing them from all those diseases was a conditional promise, a conditional blessing. And so it is with the nation Israel throughout the Old Testament. As we read about the blessings of Israel, they're always conditional. Look back in Leviticus chapter 26. In Leviticus 26, Leviticus 26:14. It's not like they didn't have several warnings. "But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And it shall be, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then will I punish you seven times more for your sins." Look down in verse 21. "And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins." Look in verse 23. "And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins." Goes on through there. I mean, read the chapter sometimes, folks. Not right now. But read it sometimes and notice all of these instructions from the Lord God about the blessings and the curses. And there was always a curse associated with failing to do that which God said to do. There was a blessing associated with doing it. And so today, that has carried over. As a matter of fact, during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, the Jews primarily thought about blessings in relation to the present time they were in. They were looking again for those physical blessings. They didn't think about it being in the future, like when the new covenant was going to be made. The Jews, during the days of Christ, thought that the blessings of God were primarily physical and material rather than spiritual. And that's what their hope was. They thought about the blessings of being in relation to physical prosperity. They thought about them in terms of doing good works to obtain them. And the Jews, because Jesus, you think about this. All these blessings that's been promised, all of this prosperity that's promised, well, what were they looking for when Christ came? They were looking for Him to prosper them. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a kingdom. And when the king didn't show up in the manner they desired, and he began to, well, even the disciples, you remember what Peter did when Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 said He was going to die. He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." They were looking for an earthly, physical kingdom where they would receive all of these blessings that God had promised them. And the majority of the Jews concluded that Jesus could not be the promised Messiah because He didn't meet all their expectation and the desires that they had of this coming kingdom. And He taught against that they continually. That was the Pharisaical teaching. And they denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we read in Ephesians chapter 3 where Paul said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, and, well, we'll get it in a minute. Ephesians 1 first. In Ephesians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, hold on here. We're going to come back. But I want you to think about this now. Paul says that we've been blessed with what? Not physical blessings, but spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I believe there are physical manifestations of those blessings. I believe that the members of the body of Christ are blessings one to another, and there's many blessings. But I want you to, before we go further with this, I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And these verses right here will confirm to us that our blessings are in no way conditional. That's one of the major differences. Now, one of the things that is similar, as I mentioned a moment ago, much of what we were reading there was about the nations and God's blessings on them. So it was a collective group. Well, so it is with us as members of the body of Christ. The verse I read over there does not speak of just of individuals. He said, we are blessed. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think about something and consider it. Every saved individual in the world today has every spiritual blessing that you have. Every one of them. Now, I know that there are people that want to, you know, divide things out, and some that claim to have the favor of God upon them and others that don't. You know, if you drive downtown and get a parking place, then that's the favor of God. Mary and I kind of got kidding about that. Every time we get a good parking place, we realize the Lord's smiling on us. No, that's not the... You see, people want to believe those things because of their egotistical, prideful self. And when things go bad in their life, they never want to talk about those things. Well, I want you to notice a spiritual truth in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. God will never curse us based on our inability to do that which He's instructed us to do. Has God given us instructions? Absolutely He has. Paul said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord. But you see, the difference today in the dispensation of the grace of God is that we are to do that which God tells us to do and be motivated by the love of Christ. Christ's love for us constraineth us to do those things. And we are blessed spiritually with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so God could never, ever curse an individual who has trusted His Son as their Savior. We are sealed on the day of redemption. There is no curse upon us. And I've told before about how I was brought up with the idea and the notion that the people that were having difficulty in their life, that it was because of sin in their life. One of my best friends was killed when he was 18 years old. He was out selling encyclopedias. Some of y'all remember encyclopedias. He used to go around and sell those things door to door, and he was out doing that. And I was in Louisiana at the time, having my brother-in-law and sister move, and he was hit by a car and was killed. And I wrought, I worked it over and over in my mind what he had done that God would take his life. You see, false teaching and a failure to rightly divide the word of truth and distinguish between how God is dealing with us versus Israel is a great, wonderful blessing to understand. Because we understand today that the bad things that happen to us in life, you know what that is? That's life. It's life. It's not God's judgment. It's not God's wrath. It's because we're all in Adam. And in Adam, all die. We don't have the promise of good health if we give our money or we're obedient to God. We don't have the promise of God blessing our business if we're obedient to God. Should we be obedient to God? Absolutely. But we don't do it trying to earn something. We do it for Christ's sake because we're His and we've been bought with a price, and the Bible said we're not our own. But our motivation is not to gain the blessing of God. We already have it. And that's why we call, that's what's called grace. The grace of God has been bestowed upon each one of us, and we have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, and God will never curse us. And the bad things that happen to us in life are simply that. They're just the bad things that come through living in the sin-cursed world. And some, of course, have come about us because of our bad decisions. But the point is that God is not exercising wrath today. He's dealing with the world in grace and mercy and peace. It's interesting that every epistle of Paul, he starts out with grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not angry today with us. He loves us. He gave Himself for us. He died for our sins. And one day He's going to take us away from this earth, and He will pour out His wrath and deal with the nation Israel again. But we'll be delivered from that, because Paul said He has saved us from the wrath to come. Now go back over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. A lot of misunderstanding about the predestination, but the words are very self-explanatory. He did not predestinate anybody to be lost, and He didn't predestinate anybody to be saved. He predestinated that every saved individual would be adopted as a child into the family of God. Read Romans chapter 8. We are His adopted children. We cry, Abba, Father. He predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. If God has accepted us in the beloved, then we ought to accept one another in the beloved, not on the basis of what we do in the flesh or what we don't do in the flesh, but on the basis of who we are in Christ Jesus. We're accepted in the beloved. That's a great blessing. You know, sometimes people go out throughout their life with this idea of being accepted, and that it overwhelms some people. People can't stand rejection. They want to be accepted. Well, I can tell you today that regardless of who else may reject you, if you're saved, you've already been accepted in Christ Jesus, and you're part of His family, you're an adopted child, and you have inherited all the blessings of that inheritance through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is one of the great spiritual blessings that we have. Not only that, He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. He bought us. He purchased us with His own blood. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, that it was the very blood of God that purchased us. We have redemption through His blood. Whereas He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. It's according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. There's just one spiritual blessing after another. Imputed righteousness. We've been made righteous. The blessings that we have are in Christ Jesus. Look back in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. It all starts with us believing the gospel of Christ. In Romans 15, verse 25, Paul said, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them the carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You notice Paul said, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That gospel of Christ is how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. There is no greater blessing in the world today than knowing the gospel of your salvation. Knowing the gospel whereby you can be saved today simply by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back in Romans chapter 4. in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, or verse 6. Romans 4, verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Think about that, folks. We were born in Adam. We are sinners. We sin every day. We are deserving of the lake of fire. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve hellfire. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You can get up every morning and look in the mirror and know that you're looking at an individual, if you're saved and have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that your sins are not being imputed to you. Colossians 2 verse 13 says that He hath forgiven you all trespasses. It's not on the basis of asking for it. It's not on the basis of confessing them. It's on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He went to Calvary and hung on that cross and died for our sins and shed His blood. We have imputed righteousness. We've been justified by His blood. We've been washed. We've been sanctified, cleansed, made one with Christ. It just goes on and on and on. All of the blessings that we have of being in Christ, and none of them are conditional, for we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God for all that we have in Him. Israel, they had the blessing of God as a nation at one time, but they lost that blessing. And with each blessing that God promised them, He also promised that if they failed in doing that which He required of them to do, there was a curse. Thank God today that's not us. You see, people that want to be Israel, they don't really know what they're asking for. They don't want to be Israel. You want to be walking a tightrope every day, knowing that if you fail, you're going to have the curse upon you. If you don't give enough money, you don't give your tithe. No wonder Paul says about the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. I was thinking as I was watching the news last night, they were putting all those flags on the cemeteries over at the National Cemetery. And having a father that spent 30 years in the military, and as a young man, I graduated from high school in 1965. And the next year, having not done so well in college, rather than studying, I was majoring in Mary. And I was about to flunk out, and so I went down to join the Air Force. And I was not accepted in the Air Force because of my health records that were there, and so I was classified 4F. I was not able to go serve. Three young men that I graduated from high school with never made it back from Vietnam. They were on the same bus I was when we went down to take our physical. And I have a deep appreciation for those that have given their life for this country. The very reason we stand here today with the freedom we have is because of the multitudes of men who were willing to give their life, give all. And as I watched that, I thought about a message that I preached several years ago on Memorial Day weekend, and that was the greatest memorial of all, the memorial of the cross. How that when Jesus Christ went to that cross, He suffered and He died, and He purchased for us freedom and liberty in Him. So that we're not under the law. We've been delivered from the law. We're not under the curse. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank God that through the Word rightly divided, I can see these things. I didn't see them for years. And I was under the bondage of that religion that was teaching me that I was still under that performance system. That if I would do good, then God would bless me. And if I didn't, then He would not. And that's why, week after week, as a young man, I would go to the altar and confess my sins and ask for forgiveness. I can tell you, by personal experience, that there is no greater blessing on planet Earth than knowing your sins are forgiven and that you're one with Christ and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never turn His back on you because He loved us and gave Himself for us. That's far better than anything Israel ever had or ever will have. And we as members of His body have that great and wonderful glorious blessing of the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Would you stand me for prayer?